Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and smell of fresh manna. Today you'll be listening to Stephen Shefka, pastor of the Saginaw and St. Charles Seventh-day Adventist Churches. And now, here's Pastor Steve.
All right, very good, folks. What an exciting day. I am so happy to have the privilege of being here for these people who are coming to Jesus. And friends, if there's anyone here who is considering giving their heart to Jesus, please come and see me or one of the elders. We will help you make that decision because Jesus wants everyone he can possibly get into the kingdom. So when we have the Holy Spirit present in this room, he may be talking to you. Respond. Amen. Let's pray as we begin our message. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much. This day has been such a gift. We lift up Sean and Callie. We thank you for their adherence to the word and their love for their Savior. But Lord, we also pray for each and every member of this congregation and those who are visiting today, because Jesus' family has room for many more. And it makes a difference what we choose. God died to give us the freedom of choice. So we ask now for your blessing. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be upon us. As we talk today about praying for the latter rain, we ask, Lord, that you would infuse our hearts with your goodness, that we would shine and we would share the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay. We have been doing a series, and the Lord gave me the series, I believe, to teach us how to be a better church. That's what we want, right? We want to be more like Jesus. When all the individual people are like Jesus, the church becomes more like Jesus, and the light gets brighter no matter where we may go. A lot of dark places in this world, but the Lord wants us to shine, and I'm so thankful that he gives us the tools we need. And we started this series off with the story of Elijah, and his goal was to turn the hearts of the people back to God. He had an amazing task. It was him against 450 prophets of Baal. And he won. Why? Because he had the Lord on his side. Jesus is calling us today through the same message Elijah was preaching. And when he calls, we need to go. He wants us to turn our heart back to God and honor Jesus by making him the Lord of our life. It's one thing to call Jesus our Savior. It's another thing to make him the Lord of our life and actually put into practice what he teaches. The next message we had in this series was talking about our need to rediscover Jesus through his word and prayer every day. How many people have been doing more evening and morning worship since we started this series? Amen. Well, today we're going to look at the power of the Holy Spirit. The power that is in this room today, how we need that power to carry out the mission of this church, and how it is, in fact, the third iteration of Elijah's message, a message of repentance, the same message John was preaching as the second Elijah. And today we're talking about a message that's called Praying for the Latter Rain. So I'd ask you to move in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. And when you're there, say amen. Very good. Listen to all those pages turning. What a beautiful sound. All right. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So they're in this place, and they're in a time of repentance. They're in one place, they're of one mind, and they were soon to be part of one Holy Spirit. And they began to do something they could never do before, speak in languages they didn't know. People could understand them. Verse 5 says, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. There were so many witnesses to the power of the Holy Spirit that they were confused. They didn't know. And these were devout men of Jerusalem. Jump down to verse 17 with me, because it tells exactly what happened. Peter describes what happened. Verse 17 said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, quoting from the book of Joel, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. This was the beginning of the church. This was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what was referred to as the early rain. And God poured the Holy Spirit out, and these 12 disciples, because they humbled themselves, because they repented, they put into action the Elijah message, the John the Baptist message of repentance. They all received the power that was poured out. But it was poured out on all flesh. But only these 12 received it. Why? Because they responded to the message. They responded to the call. They responded to the idea that they had a repentance to do. There was something wrong with their heart. They needed to turn back to God before they could receive that power. But mostly, they received it because they asked for it. Friends, we have to be asking for the power of the Holy Spirit if we want to have it. The Lord's given us the ability to ask. And when we ask, prayer opens the doors for the Lord to do, because we have to make a choice. And when God sees us make a choice, now he can work. He's not going to do things unless you tell him that's what you want to happen. Prayer is so important. And the word tells us there's going to be another outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That last one was the early rain. This is called the latter rain. God uses always those agricultural understanding terms. Something people could understand. But one thing we can ensure about the latter rain is, once again, not all will be ready to receive it. Those who know the Lord will be repenting. They might even be dreaming dreams, but they will be prophesying. The early disciples had the power to speak whatever language they needed to prophesy. The same power will be given to the people of the latter rain. Praise the Lord. Because we're going to need some help to finish this work. It's a big world out there. There's a lot of people who don't know the name of Jesus. But God has commissioned us to do that, and his mission will not fail. Amen. Did you ever tell somebody about Jesus, but they just didn't feel like hearing it? How many people have done that? How many people know that rejection? Robert, he drives a truck and he goes over telling people about Jesus. He sees that all the time. Amen. But every once in a while, somebody says, I'm interested in hearing what you have to say, right? And it's a beautiful day when we find somebody who wants to know who Jesus is. But sometimes we tell it to people and they don't want to hear it. Even though we're speaking English to an English person, they don't want to hear it. And sometimes it can make you feel like your ministry is like an old rusty tractor that doesn't want to move anywhere. Well, what's an old rusty tractor need to get moving again? It needs a little bit of oil, right? Our ministry needs a little bit of oil, friends. And the latter rain is talking about the power of the Holy Spirit, which is defined as, symbolized as oil. So let's go back and look at the literal, the local example of the early and the latter rain in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 13 is where I'd like you to turn, if you could, in your Bibles. 11:13. And that's the fifth book of the Bible. Amen. Thank you, Janet. That is Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 13 and 14. And I want you to take special note of how it begins. The first line is very important to the rest of the sermon. So take a close look at what we're about to read here. Everybody there? It says, "And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine, and your oil." In this text, the Lord is promising Israel the actual rain, the stuff that falls from the sky. We're talking about the literal example of rain here, which is used later on in prophecies and parables to talk about the Holy Spirit. But here it's talking about the actual rain, the water needed to water the farmland so it will produce precious grain. What did Israel use precious grain to produce? What did they make out of grain? Bread. They made bread. They had to have the grain if they wanted to eat bread. It says they also were going to produce wine. What's wine come from? Grapes, right? They had to have rain in the fields to grow the grapes so they'd have, you know, something to make wine out of. But it also mentions oil. What did the oil come from? Olives. They had to grow olives. They needed rain to grow the olives. They don't have any of these essentials without the rain, right? And God says, "Hey, I'll give you the rain." But how did he start this off? "And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments," is what we call a conditional statement, right? If you do this, this will happen. Did God know they need the rain? Was he willing to hold off the rain if they didn't meet the condition? Yeah, he did. It's called a drought, right? But Israel needed the grain, the wine, and the oil. Verse 16 says, "Take heed to who?" Take heed to yourselves. Individuals need to listen to the warning. Each one of us has to take this warning into our hearts. "Lest your heart be deceived and you turn aside to serve other gods and worship them." How many times did Israel do this? We talked about it in Sabbath school. There was a repetitious pattern where Israel would constantly get lazy, they wouldn't keep the commandments, and they would eventually end up serving other gods. As in the story of Elijah, they fell into the pit of Baal worship. Verse 17 said, "Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you, and he shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, and the land yield no produce, and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord is giving you." Interesting to note, there's nothing wrong with the land. We perish from our own bad decisions. False worship results in lost benefits. This passage might sound familiar to you. It sounds a little familiar to me because it has elements of the three angels' message. It talks about worshiping God alone, Revelation 14, 6 and 7. It talks about those who keep the commandments, Revelation 14, 12. It talks about those who perish under false worship, which is Babylon, Revelation 14, 9 to 10. But Deuteronomy mentions something else. It mentions the rain is needed so we can gather in the oil. And the symbol of oil is used in the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. So I want to flip there really fast. If you go to Matthew 25, 6, we'll take a quick look at how we see the prophetic significance of the oil. Matthew 25 and verse 6. "At the midnight cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Very sad result. You know, the lamps were kept burning in the first temples in Jerusalem. Both the first and the second temple were fueled by oil in the lamps. That's how they kept the things lit. They didn't have rain. They didn't have olives to make oil. They didn't have a light in their church. It's a symbol of how our church will be dark if we don't have the Holy Spirit. But it says they didn't have oil because they didn't have olives. They didn't have olives because they didn't have received the rain. And the rain was needed to make the harvest. But what was the problem? Why didn't they receive the rain? Because they did not keep his commandments. You see, it's foundational. You can't separate the Holy Spirit being in our church without keeping God's law. It's part of the conditional promise. Churches who lack the oil is a symbol of those who don't keep the commandments. They won't receive the rain. They won't have the power. Just like in the early rain, only 12 people received it. Friends, do you want to be one of the persons, one of the individuals who take heed to the warning and gain the power of the Holy Spirit? Because I assure you, we can't make it through the end time tribulation, the last days, without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't finish the mission of Jesus. And we don't want to be the ones who Jesus deems strangers. Our scripture reading said, "Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God." There are other spirits out there that we don't want anything to do with. But it says that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Do you ever stop to consider one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is to point out to us, to remind us all the things God's done for us? It's hard to be appreciative of the things you don't know about if you forgot about them. "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." One purpose of the Holy Spirit is to teach us the things that God has done for us. And I appreciate that because we tend to forget what the Lord's done to us. He's done so much for us. He's doing things for us now. He's promised to do things for us in the future. And somehow we still feel unfulfilled. We still feel discontent. The Holy Spirit helps remind us, helps us count our blessings. God gives us a helper when we need it. And we can't really understand what God's done for us from conventional earthly wisdom. It just doesn't give us the same message to our heart. We need a spiritual source, and that source is the Holy Spirit. That's the oil the latter rain brings. But we have to receive it. 1887, paragraph 7 in the Review of Herald, this was written. It says, "There is nothing that Satan fears so much as that the people of God shall clear the way by removing every hindrance so that the Lord can pour out his Spirit upon the languishing church." Powerful. What is Satan afraid of? He's afraid of you receiving the Holy Spirit. He's afraid of you saying, "I've got some hindrances. I've got some things in me that need to change. Repent and have the Lord fix our problems." That's what the devil's afraid of. If you want to put the devil in his place, that's a good way to do it. A languishing church means a church failing to make progress or be successful. Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? God wants to pour out the Holy Spirit on our church. But we've got to remove those hindrances. We've got to come into one place, be of one accord. Please open to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139 and verse 23. And the Bible says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Does God know his heart? Does God know the psalmist's heart? He already knows it. Does he know what kind of anxiety this man who's writing this down is dealing with? He already knows it. But he prays the prayer anyway and says, is there any wicked way in me? Is there a wicked way in me that I'm not aware of? Because this man wants to be led in the way of life everlasting. First, we need to ask God to do an investigation in our hearts and show us the things we need to clear out, because sometimes we simply don't see them. We need help. If you pray that prayer, you don't need to be afraid of it. We don't need to be afraid of it. The Lord's not going to come and condemn us. He's just here to help us fix the problem. And maybe it doesn't look nice, but we got to get rid of it, because we need that Holy Spirit, and it can't happen unless we get rid of those hindrances, things that block us from the Holy Spirit working through us. Elijah's message was to turn the people back to God. John the Baptist's message was the same thing: turn the people back to repentance so that they were ready for the first coming of Christ. What did John do? He wasn't holding anything back. He told Herod, you should not be with your brother's wife. He didn't hold back the truth, but he delivered it with kindness and love because he wanted to see people repent. But our church has been tasked with taking the three angels' message to the world. We are the third Elijah. We are the ones who are out there giving a loving reminder to the world to repent. But friends, true shepherds love the sheep who are lost. True shepherds don't look down on the sheep who are lost. They don't say, oh, those awful people over there. True shepherds are fearing and praying for their everlasting life. To properly care for others, we have to have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us fruit. Amen. Joy, love, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness. If we don't have those things, nobody's going to want to listen to us anyway. All ministries fail in the end without the Holy Spirit. And that's why those 10 virgins were shut out, because they didn't have that oil. Lacking the oil means lacking the love of the Holy Spirit that's required to glorify God. That's the first angel's message. He's saying it with a loud voice. Fear God and give glory to him by loving people. For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Our role as a church is to love people back to the Creator. A church that has the Holy Spirit will exude the fruits of the Spirit. They will pour out of them those 9 attributes. How about long-suffering? Cross-carrying? Taking on burdens from somebody who's just been at your heels your whole life, but still carrying a cross for them. The world's being invited back one last time through the three angels' message. This is it. This is the last chance. We are called to give glory to God. And giving glory to God just primarily refers to acknowledging his greatness, his honor, his authority, his power, his worthiness to be God. Giving glory falls into the category of praising him and all he's done for mankind. But he also wants us to worship, which is a little bit different. Worshiping God is different than, it includes praising God, but it goes a little bit farther in that it's an individual personal experience in expressing the fruits of God. Glorifying God and worshiping God leads to obedience to God. Isn't it amazing? The three angels' message begins with glorifying God and worshiping the Creator. Wasn't that the first condition back in Deuteronomy? Before the rain could come, he said, if you keep my commandments. It's the same thing being spoken again in this last ditch effort to mankind to repent. The law is the foundation for salvation, folks. It's a foundation for receiving the latter rain. Whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we drink, we're to do to the glory of the Lord. And if we do, we'll shine. We'll have that oil in our lamp. We pray for many things, but do we pray for the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life? Start praying for it, friends. The Lord wants us to ask. He knows we don't have it already. He wants us to ask for it. He wants it to be important enough at least to ask. Amen? Maybe we need to ask for it. Maybe we need to ask for it every day. Maybe we need to be pleading for it. I believe we do. Psalm 51 says, "Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." This psalmist knew something about the importance of being in the presence of the Lord. He connected being near God with having the Holy Spirit. And probably reflecting on his own wickedness, which God showed him, maybe it wasn't the same guy, but he's pleading with the Lord saying, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." He knew losing the Holy Spirit was a death sentence. Do we know that? Acts of the Apostles speaks of the Holy Spirit withdrawing from the earth. Listen to this. Acts of the Apostles, page 266, paragraph 2. "Men cannot with impunity reject the warnings that God in mercy sends them. From those who persist in turning from these warnings, God withdraws his Spirit, leaving them to the deceptions that they love." This is what's going to happen. As mankind rejects the third angel's message, one individual at a time, he's going to withdraw his Spirit. And the truth is, those who love deception have neglected the Spirit for so long, they won't even know he's departed. Can we fulfill the three angels' message, fear God and worship him, without the divine influence of the Holy Spirit? I think the message is clear, we can't. When the church goes out to tell people that Babylon has fallen, can we expect them to hear us if the individuals of the church have not had their character shaped by the Holy Spirit? I think the message says we can't. Can we endure the final tribulation? Can we avoid the mark of the beast without the latter rain power? I think the message is clear, we can't. Christ Object Lesson says these scenes are to be repeated with greater power. Speaking of the early rain, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost was the former rain, but the latter rain will be more abundant. And here's the main point. The Spirit awaits our demand and reception. Christ is again to be revealed in the fullness by his Holy Spirit power. Men will discern the value of the precious pearl, and with the Apostle Paul, they will say, "What things were a gain to me, those I counted a loss for Christ." Friends, it's easy to point the finger at the world and say, yeah, they're failing to give glory to God. But the Bible says we need to take heed as individuals. How well am I giving glory to God? That's where we can do the most work for God's kingdom. Let's focus on this one. And if we focus on getting those hindrances out of the way, if we focus on how well we're giving glory to God, the Lord will allow us to shine and produce that three angels message in a way that people will want to hear it. We receive not the spirit of the world, receive the Spirit of God. It requires a little bit of initiative on our part in order for that reception to happen. God will not be fooled by those who do not have the Holy Spirit. Half-hearted devotions to the Lord prove unworthy, and those people are deemed strangers. It's a very scary text. Are we the church that wants to receive the oil, friends? Do you see how we need to pray for the latter rain? By a show of hands, will you commit to praying to God for his Spirit as we reject the spirit of the world? Let's make this a strong church, amen? Shines bright for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bow your heads with me as we close. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for granting us this time to come together. We're grateful for this church. We're grateful for the new people that you've brought to this church today. Bless us now by the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Stephen Shefka, pastor of the Saginaw and St. Charles Seventh-day Adventist churches. If you enjoyed his sermon, why not visit one of his churches this coming Sabbath or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org? You'll find the Saginaw Church at 2755 North Center Road in Saginaw, and their church service begins at 10:45 a.m. Or visit the St. Charles Church at 125 Marcy Street, St. Charles, Michigan, and their church service begins at 9:50 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.